Why do relations fail?
How much time do you got?
I'm telling you, this is my therapy session. And I don't even pay for it. I just work here.
Are we talking romantic relationships?
All relationships. Because
romantic relationships are just relationships.
Yeah.
And we call them romantic, but in reality, it's a matter of two people with an agreement, written or unwritten, of what I want from you, what you want from me, and this is the price for it, and this is the reward, and this is what you get, and this is what I get. And because they end up having a hug and a kiss between, that doesn't make the agreement much different.
Keep it halal. Uh-huh. Long story short, ego, sensitivity, lack of communication, lack of presence of God, first and foremost, actually.
Yeah. And I would blame, before looking into the other party, because each relationship is two or more, before looking into others.
What I said is, from an internal, not blaming the opposing. Actually, what I said is both people have.
Years ago, I had this incident where this young, I was young then, but a bit elder than the people in the gathering, and a man who's been married for a year and a half was bitterly complaining of his wife and how much she changed. She's not the same person that he married. She changed. And I'm like, nobody can change. You married your known illusion of her. You did not marry her.
We always say this, because there's a Sufi sheikh that once said, if they told you this mountain moved from the west to the east, moved, believe them. But if they tell you someone changed, don't believe them. My father taught me this at a very young age. Humans are incapable of change. What happens is you become the better version of yourself, which was already innately inside and was capsized and locked and hidden under layers of trauma. And almost like an onion, as cliche as it is, you peel those layers back and your true essence and light is revealed. So you don't change.
Yes.
You just level up, you upgrade in your way.
Not upgrade. You go back to your nature. Ah. I will say it like that.
I was kind of taken by the severity of his attack on her and she was there and how
in front of her.
Yeah, and how bitter he was.
The audacity.
And that she changed.
Man,
she
the gall. That's why I snipped Romulus's balls. Not in my house. You're gonna come and huff and puff in my house? Have you lost your mind?
Oh,
this is a matriarchy.
We are very traditional.
Sorry, yeah. Continue.
And what was surprising to me is his reaction and the level of anger he forwarded to me, because I actually made him unwillingly see the reality of it, and he didn't want to. It's just a convenient state that he's a victim and he agreed on a certain persona and finally he ended up with another persona. In reality, you just married an illusion of a woman.
Okay, but I understand what you're saying. Mm. Just by the way, Romulus is my cat, before people start thinking I chopped someone's balls off. Romulus is my baby boy. He's a cat.
Please insert picture.
Oh my god. Oh, a little. I'll put it on iMovie. That's how I do my thing. But I agree with what you said. I think there's two. We'll go off on what you said. So my friend calls it the cocaine phase of love. The first 3-4 months, they say literally your brain reacts the way it does when you're on cocaine, the way you are with a partner. So it's very easy to lie to each other and to be your best self.
In colloquial terms, honeymoon phase.
Honeymoon phase, yeah. It's easy to lie, to see what you want to see. I think it stems from a lot of things. I think especially if you feel like you got someone out of your league or you've been lonely for a while or desperate, you kind of latch onto this person that ticked a few boxes and then you automatically tick all the other boxes for them. And it's You might as well be falling into a bear trap. It might be less painful.
That is true. That is so true. I agree 100%.
How would you give people the advice? I'll rephrase that. What advice would you give people to not do that?
Wouldn't you just like have to look inward now? Because if you're going ahead and ticking boxes that that person hasn't ticked themselves, we're making excuses.
When you put them on a pedestal?
When we put them on a pedestal. Remember we were talking about unconditional love. There's no such thing, yes. Right? There's no such thing because you are attaching conditions. You are ticking the rest of the boxes that that person did not tick because you are latching on to whatever conditions that they are serving.
I'll take it a step further. I need to phrase a little nicely. I've seen girls take the bare scraps that they've been thrown and the bare minimum and romanticize the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. The scraps that he, you know, throws the way you do in a circus to a penguin or a seal, right? you girls are out here. Okay?
Sorry. Okay. You do a flip like a dolphin.
And you're doing a triple flip for him, you know? Like literally world record triple flip for him for those bear scraps. And they take it. Wallahi. And by the way, not judging you guys. Victim. Mm. You know you've done it. I know I've done it. I know you've done it, Daddy. We've all done it. You know? And it stems from an internal place of a desperate need to be loved. Mm. And when I said this before, desperation reaps chaos. If you search for something out of desperation, you will find hell to pay. So, and they take those scraps because they've been fed charcoal before. Mm-hmm. So now suddenly, oh, we've upgraded to scraps, and they put him on a pedestal. And it's like, no, but he sent me good morning.
So, look at yourself.
He remembered that I had a really important meeting today and said good luck.
See, now
I have no words. Yeah, I have no words.
Okay, now let's try and understand that, right?
No, don't understand it. Why? Recognize, because this is what I'm over. I'm over talking and needing and going through it. And you have talked to girlfriends time and time again. You know, you've had this conversation. Every girl watching this podcast has had this conversation. I'm here to skip all of that and get you to the essence of it. Mm. You know what it is. Stop putting men on pedestals. Men, stop putting women on pedestals. I say this all the time. As a woman, allow yourself to be earned. Truly. Truly, truly allow yourself to be earned.
Mm. You know? As a man.
And as a man, allow yourself to be a man in a relationship and court her properly and allow yourself the space to see if she accepts it with grace.
Which means appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you appreciate, I agree. With men, true. This is, I always say this actually. Mm-hmm. Appreciation is the biggest thing with men. And subhanAllah, I was talking to my friend on the phone yesterday and he had this aha epitome self-awareness moment. And he was saying, it dawned on me today how much appreciation and validation from my family goes a long way with me. He was talking about his brother and his siblings and family members. And I was like, you know what? Brava, good on you. Truly, good on you. And I told him, I'm like, you know what? Take it a step further. Don't enter a room where you are not appreciated if you are doing everything you need to do as a man. You know? So here's the thing. I'm here to skip all of that talking. Because, girl, y'all have talked. You guys have talked so much. You spent your college years talking over beer. Yeah? You spent your first years of work talking over wine like classy ladies. You know, mm-hmm. you're now in your mid to late 20s, probably early 30s. I'm talked out. I'm done.
Fair enough. Yeah.
We know. You know what I mean? You know from your exes and from previous experiences. It doesn't necessarily have to be all of your exes. From your girlfriend's exes, learn from other people's mistakes, right?
Sure, yeah.
You've seen time and time again people put people on pedestals. I need to preface this by saying men and women alike. Mm. Men have put women on pedestals and women have put men on pedestals when they didn't deserve it, when they didn't earn it. Right? Yeah. So allow people to earn their pedestal. Because guess what? 9 times out of 10, they won't. And it saves you a whole lot of heartbreak. Mm. And a whole lot of delusion. Am I right?
You are. Yeah.
I always am. I don't even know why I'm asking.
You're asking for the audience to let that set in.
Yeah, this, when I say am I right, actually that's really true. I'm giving the audience a moment to self-reflect.
Yes.
To go through it.
You know, only if we allow people around us to be and take a step or two back and just watch them, they tell you everything.
People will always show you who they are. People will always tell you who they are. People will always make you feel exactly who they are. And I'm careful when I say make you feel here, because no one can make you feel anything you don't want to. Mm-hmm. But that gut feeling that you get of, wait, my alarms are ringing, my red flags are swinging.
Mm-hmm.
People always show you who they are, what their intentions are, what they plan to do with you. We just refuse to see it because we latch onto the idea that we...
Where does that idea even come from?
Can we go into this? Where does this idea come from? I said what I said before. Mainly comes from a lack of self-worth, self-love, self-respect. Respect especially.
Lack of faith.
And a lack of faith. In God?
Yes.
Yes. See, I bring God into everything. In the few podcasts that I've been on, every single one has kind of gone back and said, this is the first time anyone on my show has brought up God. And I really need to say this. I will never walk into a room and not mention God.
Mm.
Because everything that I know goes back to him. Everything. Everything good, every blessing, every awareness, every enlightenment, it's all him. And I will always give him all the love and all the credit, as long as I am allowed to.
It's when we are hasty, we want things to happen and quickly.
I posted a video about this yesterday. Give time the time.
Yeah.
So it comes from a place of insecurity and lack of love, self-love. Mm. It mainly starts with the parents. I just must admit it. It does. You either your parents didn't love you the way you needed to be loved, or you saw an extremely unhealthy dynamic take place between them. So it starts there. Right? And then that trickles down to the way you behave in high school, if you were bullied, because obviously when you are already insecure like that, you do attract being bullied. So it's all of that. It's awareness is...
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Attract being bullied.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Also, all of your negative partners, even the abuse, even the trauma, even the worst of it, forgive me. We've all attracted it. Everything you have been through, everything you will ever go through, you attracted. You want to get defensive and you want to say, no, I didn't attract being verbally or physically abused. It is horrible, but you did. And there is a reason for it. And, people want to talk about manifesting, but they only want to talk about the good things and not the bad things. And this is where, to me, it's still a state of delusion. Mm. Because if you accept a truth, half of a truth, and turn half of it into delusion, you've done yourself a disservice. The second you accept that you have attracted everything into your life and you regain control and you take back that control, you know why? Because it allows you to then attract all the best.
Fair.
Would you rather stay in a state of delusion of, no, I didn't attract all of this, and you lock yourself, because the second you deny it, you're locked into a cycle and it happens again and again and again.
Yeah.
I would rather accept that. Honestly, I'd rather accept defeat. I would rather accept that, yes, I attracted the worst of abuse, and take back, regain control of it. Mm. Regain control of my mind, my thoughts, my power, my life. And then it is the beginning of attracting the best of things. I would rather do that than be delusional and just blame everyone and God forbid, for my troubles rather than myself. That's just my personal take, and my life's been fine and dandy since then.
Okay, now let's deviate from romantic relationships, right?
No, wait, you were asking the idea, how do we get that? So it's desperation. So all of that stems fear and desperation. And my dad said something to me once, fear, all of those, anxiety, insecurity, it all falls under fear and lack of faith, right? So everything we just said, we're just going to sum it up and say lack of faith. Because lack of faith generates all of those negativities. So if you're a starving dog and someone throws you a bone, what are you going to do? And when you don't, this will make me emotional, and then the people will come for me because I say don't be emotional. But if you truly, if you've been depraved and deprived of love, is your soul, and your soul needs it. Love is the only thing that is important in this world. If you've been deprived of it your entire life, you are effectively a starving dog. Mm-hmm. And someone throws you a bone, what are you going to do? And unfortunately, when you are in that state of starvation and desperation, the person throwing you a bone is usually the worst of people.
So then who do you look forward to?
God.
Okay.
Get your love from God. Yeah. Nourish your soul from God. Feed your essence with divine love. And then the person throwing you a bone isn't throwing you a bone. Your soulmate is having a feast and celebration for you. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I see, it's interesting. I always credit my dad for teaching me everything I know. Mm-hmm. But I will have to say, these are things I could not have learned just through him. You have to go through some things sometimes, you know?
Okay.
Now, my goal is hopefully that you don't have to go through it more than once, and maybe never have to go through it at all, because you could be watching this and going through the beginning of it and you catch something and I save you from it. Or you save your... Actually, you save yourself, because I could say it and you refuse to hear it, then I... See, this is when I say you have control. I don't save you. You save yourself. It's not my words inspired you. It's you allowed yourself to be inspired. I did nothing. You did everything. Because my dad could say things to me all day long. Mm-hmm. And if I choose to close my ears, then I chose to close my ears.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
I remember I was at a certain stage of life. I was asked to go talk to those people. Tell them this. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Because it's not about talking. It's about listening and comprehending.
Yeah.
And when I know the person in front of me is not going to listen and is not going to comprehend, I do respect my words. I keep them to myself.
Amen.
I love that.
I think it falls into relationships in general, not just mentor, mentee. There are women that are blindly devoted to horrible men, and horrible men and beautiful men, sorry, that are blindly devoted to horrible women, right? So this state of devotion to just follow someone blindly, even though you know it's not good for you, that's a deep, the scales of power in that relationship, the dynamic is very, very...
There is a very simple aspect here. Yeah. If someone is trying to force you to behave in a certain way, do not follow. Usually, when you see the relationship between a mentor and a mentee, the fellowship is happening willingly.
The fellowship, yeah.
Mm.
Not only willingly, with love.
Yeah.
And the mentor is not seeking it, is not benefiting from it, is not imposing it on you. You are the one chasing.
Seeking. And you are seeking.
So that would explain cults.
Cults?
Okay, can we not? We're diverting from the subject of this episode. This episode is relationships, guys. Everyone relax.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, but I get what you're trying to say, Baba.
No, but what you said about cults, I agree. And it doesn't have to be on that scale, but some relationships between a man and wife are almost cult-like in the sense of...
Between friends.
Between friends sometimes, yeah. Yes.
You need to worship me.
Yeah. And it's a huge, the scale of power, the balance is very, very off. Someone is fully dominant and someone is fully submissive. But those relationships are, don't even get me started. I will say something. A lot of the time, the submissive cannot survive without someone dominating them.
Yeah.
They need, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's a different topic. I'm just going to say that. So my father, my whole life, has never wanted me to be attached to him. Ever. Ever since I was 12. I lived on my own when I was 12 for a little while, which is a different conversation. But he would always be like, I bestow upon you or give you the tools to go deal with life. And you go. Mm. Literally go. When you need me, you'll find me. But he never wanted me to be attached at the hip. Mm. If anything, he was like,
none of you.
Yeah.
Mm.
I will only speak of myself because I don't want to put words in Shireen or Zimo's mouths.
You know, your father could have been your mentor with ease if he stopped trying to enforce the teaching on you.
Yeah.
That's the enforcement is what makes
That's what drove me away, that I recognized.
You know, what I have and what I taught her, if I tried to enforce it on her, it would have been a form of torture or a form of trauma.
And believe me, he tried once or twice. that did not end well.
Unsuccessful.
Unsuccessful. On both ends. Very, very, very not nice experiences.
If you genuinely believe that you have something of value, of good, present it, show it, live it. And allow the people to come for it.
I will say one thing, and I don't want to preach at you. We'll go back to the relation, why do relationships fail. I do want to say one thing. One of my favorite quotes that I read last year, end of last year, was, even if you are born a Muslim, you will still have to find Islam again. So just because you were born in a certain religion or a house does not necessarily make you of that faith. I found Islam not because I was born a Muslim, because I actively went seeking for it. And like I said, you take one step towards God, I'll say it time and time again, he takes 10 towards you. So don't deny yourself what could be a great blessing or opening or experience because the initial thing was a negative one. So I'll give you the example of, for example, you go through a horrible relationship with a narcissist or an abuser or, right? And then that relationship ends and you are forever scarred by it. And then you don't allow yourself to feel love again or to love someone properly. And then you end up punishing yourself and the other person who's ever going to be in your life because some unworthy person did you wrong. Not that your dad's unworthy. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't tint what could be a great experience by a past negative experience. It's just not worth it. Fair. You deny yourself a lot.
A lot, yeah.
A lot. Now, why do relationships not succeed? How much time have you got? Seriously. It's
22 minutes.
Relationships don't succeed. I stand my ground. I'll say the first one. God, the lack of God, the lack of presence of God in any relationship is doomed to fail. Is doomed to fail.
I agree on that. It's because an essential.
It is. If you have God in your heart and you see the person in front of you as a gift from God, as a blessing created by God, and you value yourself as a gift by God, that God made you in his eye, the way you move is different.
Now we need to take one step further, quantify this relationship with God. How does it affect the mechanism of relation between both?
But that's what I'm saying.
So it doesn't fall.
But that's what I'm saying. It starts with that. You view yourself as a worshiper of God. So you move differently. The way you behave with everything has to be different when you have God first and foremost in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have it, and inshallah your partner has it, then the fundamentals, the foundation is already there. You move differently, right? Then you view this person as, I prayed for my soulmate. God sent me this person. This is my gift from God. And then by the grace of God, the other person views you as the same. I prayed for my soulmate. They sent me Layla. This is my gift from God. This is what I prayed for. So again, you move differently. You treat each other differently. You treat each other with respect, with love, with God in the middle, as if he is sitting in the room with you, watching you. You move differently, you know? So then when it comes to problems, for example, there's no way you're going to just viciously fight and attack someone if God's in the room with you. Does that make sense? You know, the way you treat each other is different. The way you value each other is different. The way the especially value, because a man knows the value of a woman in God's eyes and a woman knows the value of a man in God's eyes. So the way, the value you put on each other is different. The roles you put on each other, the understanding, the willingness to communicate. And also for me personally, ideally what I would like is, la samahallah, God forbid, you do face a problem, our book has the answer to most of it, you know? So we don't come up with solutions from our brain. We seek guidance and divine answers and solutions and attempt to implement those. If you move like that, it's very different. Am I making sense? So God first and foremost. I think of God's in your life. That being said, there are people who claim to have God in their lives and they're psychos. So, you know. But truly, I'm talking now about... Because, you know what? I'm tired of being politically correct. Not that I am. But if I give this example of God, some people will be like, oh, my ex-wife was a devout Christian, but she was very abusive. Not a Christian. Oh, yeah. My ex-husband was a devout Muslim, paid five times a day, beat me. Not a Muslim. So don't give me these, don't throw these examples in my face because they have no place here.
It's easy to carry a title, but do you behave, do you reflect that title in your behavior? That's another thing.
So here's the thing. With expectations, it's a, I'm not going to say it's a tricky one, but it's a multidimensional one.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, especially as women, we can say, no, I said what I wanted. I told him what I wanted. He didn't. A lot of the times, we didn't. Because you may have, but then deep down, there's something you wanted or hoped for that you didn't even want to admit or didn't even want to say out loud or didn't even want to say between you and yourself that you wanted. That's an unmet expectation. Mm-hmm. That's so unfair.
Yeah.
And of course, vice versa. Men can also expect a lot and not voice them for multiple reasons. It makes me weak. I don't want to be vulnerable. That's not a manly thing to ask for. You set yourself up for failure the second that happens. Mm. Because if I'm internally wanting something that I don't tell you that I want, and I'm just expecting you to read my mind and do it, which takes me back to my video when I said if he wanted to, he would. I don't know where the hell people came up with this, but a lot of the comments were, what is this with, if you don't tell him what you want, it's not what I said.
The lack of clarity in the binding agreement, because whenever two people are in a relationship, and I'm not talking about emotional platonic relations here, I'm talking about relationship,
generally. Romantic,
the lack of clarity of the binding agreement, what is required and what is wanted from you.
Binding, you mean marriage?
Regardless,
actually I'll fully agree with you, and this is why I tell people now, I don't care if it's your first date or phone call even, you know? Ask the most important questions. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? That's, for me, that's a deal breaker. Not only believe in God, like, are you a practicing Muslim? I truly want that because I would hope that my partner would bring me even closer to God. Mm. Do you want to have kids? Do you believe in marriage? Like, those fundamental questions that some people save for 6 months into a relationship. How was it even a relationship?
What are you wasting your time and effort
on? What are you wasting? Literally, you know? Ask those fundamental questions. I absolutely agree. That needs to be very well established, not 3 months in or 6 months in. The first hour in.
One of the classic mistakes is to be too generous and thinking that since you're generous and since you, that would be appreciated. Recognized and appreciated.
Give that's kindness a, and then kindness comes mistake. In return.
Shouldn't do it.
No, he's saying when you think being overtly generous will gain appreciation and acceptance. Because...
Oh. Yeah, the same thing.
No, but we've all done this.
First, the recognition of your act. Of your
we've all done your this. How many times have you been in a relationship where you feel like you gave so much and there was no appreciation?
So many times.
So that's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I think in his sense, are you saying materialistic generosity?
Well, that's one.
That's one form. Okay, he means generosity in every sense. Yeah. The relationships one, it's relationships fail for multiple reasons. But yeah, I think if the fundamentals aren't aligned, that will fail. Because that being said, you could be a great person and I could be a great person, but you don't want to have kids. We're not made for each other. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And stop trying to mold it and break it and what is that word? Chisel it to make it work. He doesn't want kids. You want kids. That's not your man. Do you know what I mean? But some people will see that's an extreme example of kids, but some people will see fundamental differences of he believes in God, but he's not practicing. But, you know, we get along. Like, he believes in God and we have deep conversations. Try to make
exceptions?
It doesn't work.
Mm.
Yeah. They try to make it work. They force it. Mm. They're forcing...
Yeah.
But don't whenever force the idea of being... Yeah, yeah. That's for sure.
It's a desperation.
See, I feel like we're going around in circles now because...
Yeah, we are.
But it's true. This is why relationships fail. There could be so many more reasons. But the truth is, the right people will make it work.
Whenever you're forcing a situation, and okay, it's gonna work, I'm gonna make it work, it's like the signs in front of you says no, but you keep on fiddling with it and trying to, that's one of the signs of desperation. Because if you really genuinely believe in generosity and abundance, and okay, this is maybe not the right partner, someone else will come. And by the way, all the time I was talking about partner, my brain is connected to business relationships, because because
business, the same mechanism. Mentors, love,
it's the same mechanism.
We're literally the Three Stooges having a conversation.
No, but it's the same mechanism.
It is. I agree. It doesn't matter. I'm just being playful.
How our brain work with relationships, it's the same mechanism.
It is.
It's just that the romantic relationship has a bit more flair to them. But they're controlled by the same binding regulations.
They still operate the same as other relationships.
Yeah, the essence is the same. A relation is a relation. I agree. There was something I wanted to say. You were saying desperation, right? Mm. I agree. I'll also, fear is a big one. I think it's the fear of being alone is a big one, you know?
Or the fear of missing on an opportunity.
FOMO.
It's the fear. It's the same thing.
Okay. I agree. In the beginning. I'm talking about the end. You know when, khalas, you know you need to part ways and then the breakup takes 6 months? You know what I mean? 6 months it takes for either him to walk away or her to walk away, because it's the fear of ending up alone. It's the fear of maybe not finding someone better. It's the attachment to certain thoughts and experiences and feelings. But I really, I'm careful with this one, but when you love someone truly, why do you love someone? And I'm talking about us now in a very human state, not a saint-like state. You love someone because of how they make you feel. Now, don't tell me, no, I love them without expectation. I'm calling bullshit. You're human. Like, let's just skip all that. It's because of how they make you feel. It's because of the value that they give you. It's because of the time that they give you, the quality, you know what I mean? The appreciation. That's why you love someone. Now, when you're still in love with someone who does not give you all of these things, what are you in love with?
The idea of what they
did. The idea. You are latching onto, maybe they'll make me feel good. Maybe they'll go back to being nice the way they were at first or when. But that's not there. That does not exist. So what are you still doing? Honestly, who are you in love with? And then you break up, or he breaks up with you. And by the way, vice versa, girl or guy, it doesn't matter. And you replay all those nice moments, torturing yourself. And there is this extreme deep resilience towards not accepting that they may or may not have treated you like absolute garbage by the end of it. Or it's just clear as day, maybe not garbage, they're just not your person. This extreme resistance. Extreme resistance is truly, it comes from a fear of not willing to accept that it's not that you're not worth it. They equate it to, if I accept it, I'm not worth it. They didn't see my value. They let me go. You know, people latch. I don't even know how to explain this. Am I making sense?
You are. Trust me, you are. When I said divine intervention at the beginning of this.
They you know, you, because, bro, they hold on to this, my value comes from this person, which is just ridiculous. And then there's the fear of, what am I going to do on my own? So let's just start with, even if you're in a relationship, you very much need to be very comfortable between you and your mind. Like, if you are, honestly, I'm going to look at the cameras. If you are in a relationship right now and you can't go an hour without receiving a message from your boyfriend or girlfriend, get out. You're doing something fundamentally wrong. You, yourself.
Yeah,
if
yourself.
I'm in a relationship and I can't sit an hour without, did he text? I am doing something fundamentally wrong. So there's that. Even if you're in a relationship, you have to be very comfortable being with yourself. Very. Like, he needs to be able to go about his day and you need to be able to go about your day. And things are very much alive and thriving. And then also, this fear of, am I ever going to find someone else? And this is why I'll take it always back to God. If you believe in God, hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes, you will find. Not only will you find someone else, you will find someone monumentally better. You will find someone made for you.
And never equate what that idea, like, never equate what's made for you to just for somebody giving you breadcrumbs.
Yeah. I don't, like, why are girls still, see, this is why now I'm not going into the details of it, because these girls and men have hashed it day in and day out. Why are you still accepting breadcrumbs? You know?
It's like, what is the thing? Like, when you scroll on social media, you get that dopamine hits. Those breadcrumbs
are dopamine hits. Absolutely. Yeah. You know? And see, it's interesting. If we're going to talk about why relationships fail, I want to end it on one note. Because now we talked about always being kind of the victim and being on the opposing end of not receiving what you deserve or what you've earned or what blah, blah, blah. Okay? Relationships also sometimes fail because of you.
Preach.
All the time fail because of you.
No, no. Sometimes they are amazing. You know, I want to like really differentiate those two, because you are not always the victim and he is not always a narcissist. Let's just get this clear. Sometimes relationship fail because of you, because God could send you a beautiful man or a beautiful woman and you not do not have the grace to accept that. Because the art of, what is it? What is that movie?
Which one?
The Art of Being a Wallflower? Is that what it's called?
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Perks of Being a Wallflower. You accept the love you think you deserve. And there are a lot of people out there that do not know how to accept divine love, beautiful love that comes from a good man or a good woman. So sometimes relationships are messed up and you lose a relationship because you did not have the grace to accept it. Or because you were projecting a previous trauma onto your partner. Or because you didn't allow yourself to believe that you deserved a divine kind of love. So sometimes relationships don't work out, not because he or she is a narcissist, but because you do not have the ability to be in a healthy, loving relationship. And you need to accept that. And you need to reconcile that between you and yourself in order to be able to heal that and go on to accepting good love. Because like, you best believe that there are people out there that know they've lost someone good. And they know they've messed up.
Well, you know that when somebody who rejected you years ago calls to check on you, how are you doing?
Yeah, they always come back. They always come back.
They come back because
They messed up. Sometimes you mess up and it doesn't make you a villain, so don't get all defensive, you know, of no, I've never, I always love with all my heart. Stop talking. You know, sometimes we hurt people. I know I've hurt my fair share of people. I've been horrible. I've made people fall in love with me with no intention of loving them back because I was a young teenage dumbass. Stupid. You know,
I was dirtbag.
So I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, I've only ever been traumatized. I've never inflicted trauma. Relationships sometimes don't work out because we ourselves are horrible people and don't know how to love properly. And I think everyone needs to take a step back and kind of recognize where their shortcomings are, where they mess up in relationships, and do better.
Regardless how nice you think you are, you are the trauma of somebody.
Yeah. No, of course. No, some people are only traumas to other people.
Yeah.
Y'all haven't even done a good deed in your life. Let's just start there, you know? But this is the human experience. Get yourself out of this. It is such a wounding cycle to lock yourself in. Stop convincing yourself that you are so good that you don't have the ability to hurt someone and that you would never hurt someone, because you have, you are, and you will. You are human.
You have the high horse.
Get off that high horse. We've all hurt people. We will all continuously hurt people, intentionally, unintentionally. It doesn't matter. You are human. It is part of your experience. You are not some divine saint who's never hurt anyone and I never... No, you do.